The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
All right, the nominations are in, and the Rockets keep winning. Let's do this. It's a Tuesday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for Tuesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Jong Lee, the bleeping master. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You are good to go. There's also Twitter. At Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real. At Jong Snow with a zero, not an O. At Degenerates 975. You can also text the show, 713-780-3776. And it's a Tuesday. Worst day of the week, but we're going to have fun today. It's going to be a good show. We've got a Harlem Globetrotter coming in. We got Jerome Solomon scheduled to join us, and in the 6 o'clock hour we have Ku Agenti, who's a very funny comedian who's got a big show coming up, so he's going to join us in studio, so should be fun. What's up, Hoffman?
Sports stuff like that. What's going on with you?
Not much.
Jong texted me today. He was like, hey, we got a bunch of these guests today. I said, do you just want me to take the day off? And he said no. I was actually kind of disappointed. I thought that was like his hint to be like, hey, we don't need you today.
And I got a weird text from AJ saying that he was meeting somebody.
I was,
yeah.
Yeah, under a bridge.
Yeah, and he said, whoops, wrong dude.
Wrong dude.
Yeah. I see.
You don't want to know about it, Fred.
Okay.
You'll never look at me the same.
Teeth or no teeth?
Teeth.
Oh, okay.
I pay for it. I'm going to get it.
Hey, why don't you go gum?
I don't know. I'm too young for that.
Once you've had a gummer.
I'm still too young.
Oh, well. 713-780-ESPN. Did you see the nominations for Academy Awards?
I did. I haven't seen as many of the movies as I usually
I've
have.
I've seen four of them, I think. I'm way ahead on what I've usually seen. I think my favorite part, though, is the one that got nominated for all this stuff. This water movie.
Yeah, The Shape of Water.
Yeah, have you read the description of that?
No.
Because I haven't seen the movie.
I haven't either.
And I really have
and
no...
And it's, like everyone says, it might be the best movie.
Well, it... If it is... It's going to be in spite of what
in spite
about.
Of the plot?
Yes. Because I was mesmerized when I read the first line, so I read the whole plot. It sounds like the worst thing ever.
Okay, give it to me.
And this is from somebody who likes aliens and weird crap.
All right, what do you got?
I'm just going to read the first part.
Give me the synopsis here.
And it says, The Shape of Water is a 2017 American fantasy drama.
I hate it.
Directed by Guillermo del Toro and written by Del Toro and Vanessa Taylor. The film stars Sally Hawkins, Michael Shannon, Richard Jenkins, Doug Jones, Michael Schulberg, and Octavia Spencer. Set in Baltimore in 1962, the plot follows a mute custodian at a high-security government laboratory who befriends a captured humanoid amphibian creature. Do I need to read any more?
No, I'm good.
And I'm certain she winds up sexing the amphibian, but... Yeah.
I do like Del Toro's work, though.
I like that show. What's that show called that I watch about the vampires? The Strain.
That was him?
Yeah, that's him.
He's done some good stuff, and I'm sure it's better than it sounds, but it just sounds hideous. And if you read the plot, it sounds even worse.
I mean, yeah, he's done Pacific Rim, Hellboy, Blade.
I love me some Blade. You know that. Yeah. That's one of my all-time favorite trilogies.
I mean, The Hobbit. He's done. Done some good stuff.
But 13 nominations for this thing.
Yeah, The Shape of Water and Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri are. They seem to be like the front runners.
Yeah,
I've not seen either one. And honestly, like just by, I don't know. Like I don't know if either of them even interest me at all.
No, the Billboard one does, but that I'd kind of like to see. But I have seen Darkest Hour, Dunkirk, The Post. I think there's one more that I've seen. I think if I could vote based on what I've seen so far, best actor, Gary Oldman, Darkest Hour, best director, Christopher Nolan in Dunkirk. And best movie would be The Post.
Now, the Three Billboards movie is a true story, right?
I think so, yeah.
That does make it sort of interesting to me.
But...
And, like, Dunkirk is really good.
Yeah, that one, that is just so intense, too. I mean, that really captured the whole thing. I mean, I thought that was an amazing movie. I thought The Post was really good, but that's from a newspaper guy.
And I kind of want to watch, you know what I don't want to watch? Call Me By Your Name.
Yeah.
It's about some young boy who falls in love with some old man.
Yeah, can't wait to not watch that.
Yeah, it just doesn't. I don't.
That doesn't do anything for me.
It's not my kind of movie.
I was glad to. Even though
I mean, listen, you do what you want to do with your personal life, but it's not. It's just not my kind of movie.
Yeah,
not my cup of tea.
Yeah. I was glad to see that Wonder Woman did not get nominated for Best Picture.
It did not. Thank you.
Get Out did.
Get Out did. Which, that's a good movie.
Yeah, I wasn't as high on it as you guys, but I was glad to see it get nominated.
Yeah, I don't know if it's like an Oscar winner, but I don't know. The one that I really want to see that I haven't that's on the list is, well, besides Darkest Hour, I do want to see that.
That is really good.
But I kind of want to see Phantom Thread, and it's about something that, like, if I read the synopsis, you would say, oh, I don't care about that.
Yeah.
It's about some high-end fashion designer in the 50s, but it's Daniel Day-Lewis, and he just doesn't do crappy movies.
And I don't remember what it was we went to see, but they had a extended preview for it. And I wasn't really interested in it until I saw the preview, and I was like, you know, that might not suck.
Yeah, he's so good.
And
he's so good.
That guy's such a great actor. Of course, he got nominated for Best Actor. The one I was a little bit disappointed was that Bob Odenkirk didn't get nominated for Supporting Actor for The Post. He was really good in that. But that, to me, was the one real snub. And I bet Meryl Streep wins, even though I don't think she was that great in that movie. But I'm not a fan of hers. I never have been. I've always thought that they just told us she could act because she wasn't attractive.
Yeah.
So, but I do feel like I'm ahead of the game this year because I've seen
you are. A bunch of them. Like, normally I've watched all these movies and you've watched none. Now it's like role reversal here.
Well,
I'm ashamed.
When we were in Chicago, we went to an early movie and I don't know. I honestly think I'm changing. I'm getting more interested in these type of movies. I guess it's called getting old. So
maybe so. Maybe I'm getting less interested in them.
Yeah.
Because there's a bunch of old people showing up at the theaters.
Yeah, no kidding.
Hey, down in front there.
I don't need that.
Hey, Baldy, down in front.
I don't need that.
Anyway, that's just a quick update. John, what are your thoughts?
How many of these have you watched, John, of the 10? How many is there? Five or 9 or 10?
Get Out.
9 nominees.
Yeah.
You haven't watched Dunkirk?
No, that's on my list. I need to watch it.
You know what I would do? Just humble suggestion. Watch Darkest Hour first.
Okay.
Because it definitely alludes to that, and it kind of sets it up nicely. Even though they're totally unrelated, it works real well if you watch Darkest Hour and then Dunkirk.
Have you watched Lady Bird?
I have not.
Okay. So you've watched Darkest Hour, you've watched Dunkirk, Get Out, The Post.
Yeah, that's my 4 I've watched.
Okay.
So I think next on my list would probably be Phantom Thread.
That and then three billboards.
Yeah.
God, I'm probably going to end up having to watch that stupid Shape of Water, even though it sounds horrible.
Is it always this many nominees?
Yeah. They changed it. Like, the last couple of years are doing 9 or 10 movies. What's going on with what's this movie called Mudbound? Have you heard of this?
I haven't.
I haven't either. If I haven't even heard of your movie, I mean, what are we getting nominated for around here?
So it says... Three Billboards is not a true story, but it's also one of the funniest movies he's seen. Very dark.
Oh, I thought it was a true story.
Ah.
That makes me care about it less.
Mm.
Mudbound says Laura McAllen is trying to raise her children on her husband's Mississippi Delta farm, a place she finds foreign and frightening. In the midst of the family struggles, two young men return from war to work the land. Jamie McAllen, Laura's brother-in-law, is everything her husband is not, charming and handsome, but he is haunted by his memories of combat. Ronzel Jackson, eldest son of the black sharecroppers who live on the McAllen farm, now battles the prejudice in the Jim Crow South.
Hmm.
This is going to be, it's got 96% on Rotten Tomatoes. Oh, it's on Netflix. That's why I haven't heard it in the theaters, because it's on Netflix. Okay, I'll watch that.
Yeah, that's easy. Impact said, saw Shape of Water, and it was pretty amazing. Only 3 people in the theater, including me, though.
And well,
that's the kind of movie that gets those a lot of those nominations.
A lot of people saying that sounds like the fish guy from Hellboy.
He just reassigned him. Mm. It's like, oh, hey, we got this costume from a movie I did a while back.
Yeah, I don't know. I probably shouldn't have read the whole plot of the thing, but I was mesmerized because it was got so many nominations. And the more I read about it, I'm like, this just sounds like the worst script ever. So, and Hip Hop Hercules sending us the Jim McElvain and the shark picture. This is where the concept for Shape of Water came from. Oh, God. I can never unsee that. Just, I thought I'd be all over Molly's Game. I've tried to go see that a couple times.
I've never even heard of Molly's Game. What's it about?
It's got poker in it. It's about based on a true story.
Yeah, and didn't she like create like one of the biggest underground poker games in like Hollywood or something?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I think it's about that.
So I'm interested.
I don't know
if
I care about that,
but it's there. I wanted to see the other two movies more, and I, you know, it's not like I have a ton of time to go see movies. But
yeah, it has Jessica Chastain and I believe Idris Elba.
So that's why the wife wants to go see it. She's, oh, we should go see Molly's Game. I'm like, yeah, I'm down with that. It's because Idris Elba's in it. I should have known.
Yeah.
Oh, did you know
she
that?
She loves that dude.
They're coming out with a new season of Luther this year?
Yes, yes.
Can't wait.
He actually tweeted out like a picture where they started filming. So
is Jessica Chastain hot or not hot?
I think she's attractive.
I'm weird about her.
Is it because she's redhead?
No, I kind of like redheads, but she's like... every time I see her, I'm like, I can't tell if she's hot or not.
I would.
You would?
Definitely.
Just because she's famous or like because she's that hot?
And redheaded. All right.
I think she's going to be the new Jean Grey.
No, she's not.
No?
She's playing somebody else.
Oh, okay.
That's what's her name? Game of Thrones.
Sansa?
Sansa, yeah.
Oh, she's going to be Jean Grey?
Yeah, she's Jean Grey. She was Jean Grey in the last movie.
Yeah. That's pretty good. She's hot.
Yeah, I think it just depends on the photo you see of Jessica Chastain.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, sometimes I see her and I'm like, ooh, she's a pretty good-looking lady. And then sometimes I'm like,
no,
oh.
Wouldn't. But
yeah. She looks like a dude with a wig.
I had a couple of them. She kind of does. Yeah. All right, quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. And that music means we have a guest from the Harlem Globetrotters.
That's not my theme song?
No.
What do you mean a guest?
Scooter Christensen joins us. And I see here you won a karaoke contest in Montana. We may have to have a little contest here. My Tom Petty game is strong.
There it is.
What'd you bring?
That was a long time ago, man. Yeah, but it was fun. I come from I'm a only child, singing family, grew up in the church home. You know, my mom sang around. On my mom's side, either you sing or you play an instrument. So couldn't help but to sing. So, yep, not too bad.
You've been doing this for, 13 years now?
13.
With Globetrotters.
Yep, 13 years. Been to 83 countries, man. So.
Oh, wow.
My passport is crazy.
Have you been to any of those S-hole countries that we've heard so much about?
No, I've been everywhere the Globetrotters go, we're always the home team, man. So everybody's out, they're nice to us.
Okay, that's good.
We're good.
That's good to hear. We were talking a little bit about your college experience.
That's right.
I played at Montana, a Big Sky Conference. You were there from what, 98 to 02 or 99 to 02?
98 to 02, yeah. Went to the NCAAs my senior year, graduated with a bachelor's degree, played against the Oregon Ducks first round against Lou Ritenour, Freddie Jones. It was a good run. We were down.
You remember the score of that game?
I don't remember. They blowed us out at the end, but at halftime it was like.
Y'all were hanging in there.
We were like down by 8 or 6 points. So it was you know, you kind of play to the level of your competition, you know what I mean? So either we was going to play up,
yeah,
you know, and it was good. It was good experience, you know. Guys get the chance to go to, you know, like Duke and North Carolina. That's like
they go every year.
Every year. So for us to be like
you
a
guys
got
to win
team,
that conference tournament. To
there
have
it
a shot.
Is.
I always think those conference tournaments are so intense. Like
it is.
Because you know, there's no discussion about, well, we'll check their RPI, whatever. Right. If you don't win that tournament, there's no chance of you going. Even if you rolled through the regular season, they're exactly. like, oh, sorry, man.
We made the tournament. We have actually came back in third, like I want to say either third or fourth in our conference, and then just made it, like you said, made it to the tournament. And after that, you know, had the game was on Fox Sports, you know, or ESPN2, whatever it was, I can't remember, and end up winning.
So knowing that, does it make the regular season less intense than it would be if you were playing in the ACC or the Pac-12 or someplace like that, where your whole resume at the end of the year is going to be judged by this panel, whereas knowing you've got, you're automatically in if you win that tournament at the end, and you're automatically out if you don't?
Yeah, I mean, it meant a lot because at first, especially for our seniors, because the year before that, we didn't make the tournament at all. You know, it was just like a dud year.
You didn't make the conference tournament?
We didn't make the conference tournament at all. Oh. So for that to be our senior year and to make it that year meant a lot, man. So, yeah.
I see you're in the Guinness Book of World Records, and I have to admit I've never looked up this particular world record. Longest duration spinning a basketball on your nose?
That's right.
You don't even have that big of a nose.
That's right. I don't.
How do you do that?
Good genes, mom and dad. Thank you. 7.7 seconds. I saw a guy do it my first year, my rookie year as a Globetrotter. It was his 10th year. His name was Michael Wild Thing Wilson from Memphis, Tennessee. And he did it every single night. And I was just a fan. And I said that was one of the tricks I wanted to learn. Took a lot of nose burns and bleeds to get there. But, hey, it was one of the tricks that the kids love seeing every single night, man. So happy to do it.
So if it touches your forehead, it's over.
Actually, I can spin it. I can go on my spin it on my nose, and I make it roll to my forehead, and this.
But
stop.
For the record, it's got to be nose only.
Just nose only, yeah. Because it's actually, you can catch it on YouTube. I actually go all the way down to the ground to it. So 7.7 seconds, and I feel like I do it so much, I feel like I could beat my record. So if they ever ask me to come back, I think I can beat that 7.7 seconds. So.
Is there some young guy on the team now who's practicing that you're worried about?
No. No, okay. No, but I tell you what, some guy that beat me, because I had the record like at 5 seconds, I think, and then some guy from Germany that I can't even pronounce his name came with like 5.4 or 5.2.
Dolph Lundgren.
Maybe it was. I don't know who it was, but actually ended up beating it and got the record at 7.7.
You dominated
seconds.
Him. You blew it out of the water. You said, listen, Dolph. this record is untouchable now, buddy.
But you know what? It's so funny, though. I get people to come up to me all the time and like, oh, man, that's not that long. And I say, here, try it. And then they're like, okay, yeah.
Well, I mean, do you ever try it and it doesn't work, like when you're in the game setting? Or do you?
Oh, there's been times where it's fallen off. I just, you know, put it back on.
Scoop
there,
it back
you know,
up yeah. and go back
yeah,
at
just
it.
Just keep going, yeah.
I always wonder what these, like, the stunts and stuff you guys do. Like, is it a... Is there like a kangaroo court, or what happens if you fail at your trick in the locker room? Do they give you grief about it?
No, I mean we strive to be perfect every single night, you know, and I think that's what's fun about it. But you know, we're human like anybody else. You know, Michael Jordan didn't make every shot. Steph Curry don't make every shot. I mean, we mess up sometimes too as well. So kids see that, like, thinking sometimes that we're perfect and we're not, but they see that we mess up. It's not that bad. Just pick the ball up and try again.
So you're playing college ball. Like, did you, and obviously not a lot of guys from the Big Sky Conference are getting drafted to the NBA every year, like, you know, maybe one or two a year, if that.
Right.
So did you have aspirations to play in the NBA?
I was just like any other kid. I wasn't, wanted, you know, God willing, to see how far I could take basketball. I had no intentions of being a Globetrotter. You know, before the Globetrotters, I was actually an assistant video coordinator and a practice player for the Phoenix Suns.
Okay.
They asked me what happened was it was a pickup game on the weekends, and they draw big crowds, and I didn't know that the Globetrotters was based out of Phoenix, Arizona at that time. So
I didn't either. I would have guessed Harlem.
What happened was they actually came and saw me play. I was out there with Steve Nash, Mark Stoudemire, Barbosa, Sean Marion, and I was actually looking at a guy that they were holding, and I was holding him. We were playing against each other, and I was out there doing my thing, and they was like, well, who was that guy? And the Phoenix Suns scouts were like, oh, that's our video coordinator guy. And I said, man, he could play, and they invited me to the camp, and 13 years later, here I am.
Now, did you have opportunities to play ball overseas professionally? Like, and then what what makes you decide between being a video coordinator for the Suns versus having like a career in Turkey or something like that?
It's interesting you say that because the Suns were getting ready to send me to develop my game a little bit more overseas.
Okay.
Because they were like, man, you know, you're getting, you know, you're doing these college edits and bringing in all these kids from, and every time we ask you to, you know, we need an extra body, you know, you're killing these kids. You know, so I think we're going to develop your game a little bit more. And at that time, man, I was just so hungry. Anything that came my way, you know, I was just taking that opportunity. And I didn't know the Globetrotters as well as I do now.
Right.
Then, yeah.
Like, did you have an idea that it was like some sort of a show? Like, it's like sort of a joke thing? Like, when you first heard about it?
No. I've never been to a Globetrotter game as a kid. The first time I ever seen them was on Scooby-Doo, the cartoon.
Yeah.
You know? And I maybe saw maybe one time on TV. But when I first started, my first 2 years, they had an actual competitive team, not the tricks that you see in how entertaining it is today. They actually had a competitive team. It was a competitive team and an entertainment team. And then by my third year, they ended up doing a survey for all the Globetrotter fans out there, and the fans wanted to see more of the Curly Neal, the Metal Arc Lemon stuff that they used to do. And so we took it that route.
Now, I bet if you were coming up now in the NBA, they would have sent you down to the G League or D League or whatever it was, and you wouldn't have had to go to Turkmenistan or some place like that.
Probably.
Now, do you ever think back like, man, I mean, this is obviously you've made a 13-year career with the Globetrotters.
Right.
It's obviously a really cool deal.
Right.
But did you ever say, man, I wonder if I would have made it to the Suns. I wonder if I would have played in Turkey for a year or two and then blown up on the Suns.
I've always thought like, man, what if this would happen? What if I didn't take this route with the Globetrotters and gone, you know, with the Suns and gone overseas and, you know, what would have happened? But, you know, then again, I wouldn't have had the blessings that I had with the Globetrotters of being in 83 countries. You know, I've met my wife. I have, you know, have three beautiful children, man. So, I mean, I've just been so blessed to be doing it this long. And, you know, if I did go that route, maybe I wouldn't have had the things I've had, you know. So, yeah.
Who are you guys playing against
here? Washington Generals.
They follow you guys everywhere, huh?
Yeah, Washington Generals.
Wouldn't it suck to be on that team?
You know, one of my teammates that I'm with today that's in the other room.
Zeus,
he was with the Generals for 1 year. And to let you know how good he was and how good he is, the Globetrotters recruiting him to come to play for us. So
Did the Generals play anybody else? Or is it a two-team rivalry that they just play each other constantly?
I know they played. In my 13 years, they've been – they've called themselves the Global Select, the New York National Team. They've been the World All-Stars. I just tell people, it don't matter. They all get beat the same.
How many times have they won?
The last time they won was in 1971.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be a part of a team that loses to the Generals, right?
No, I wasn't even born yet, so my record's good.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be – I feel like the whole team would have to be cut if that happened. Now, do you ever wish, like, I mean, and obviously it's fun to, anytime you play a game, it's fun to win.
Yeah.
But you grow up playing ball competitively, like, you want to test yourself against the best guys. You get frustrated, like, hey, Generals, I wish you guys would play a little better. Give us a game.
I tell you what, some of those guys are good. Now, you know, they get a bad rap of losing all the time, but they're selecting guys that's pro ballers that's overseas and, you know, that's done some good things in their career. So, but when it comes to the Globetrotters, they know what it is, man. You know,
well,
so,
and they know, like, listen, right. The Generals don't exist without the Globetrotters.
Exactly.
Does management know that? Do they know, like, hey, if the Globetrotters have an off shooting night, I don't want y'all going out there and winning this game. I want you to make it close, but you damn sure can't go beat the Globetrotters tonight.
I tell you what, I've been in games where they could miss and our coach have to call timeout. Like, and give us, like, hey, what are you doing?
You imagine I'm a little kid. I go to NRG to see the Globetrotters, and you lose to the Generals?
Oh, man.
I mean, my whole childhood would be ruined.
I tell you what, talking to Curly Neal one time, and because he was in that game when they lost in 1971, and he said that he don't like talking about it, but he said it was just one of those things where we were just entertaining the fans so good and that we didn't realize that they were just hanging with us the whole time, and by the time they looked up, like, oh, man, the score is, like, the clock is going down, and, you know, I mean, one of the, like, last-second shots to win the game, you know?
Damn.
Yeah.
you go around eating people's food and stuff?
I don't do that. That's Big Easy. Big Easy.
I'm glad he's like, don't, he's like man. The, I don't like that.
He's like the middle arc limit of the day, you know?
I don't like that at all. I don't want people to eat. I don't like strangers to touch my food.
Maybe not your food, but someone else's food, that's fine. That's fine. So you can watch it. So
but I would fight you if you touched my food.
Just get up and run. If you see him coming, get up and run. I don't know if he can, you know, Big Easy. He's Big Easy. He's 6'10 from New Orleans,
I might not fight him. Never mind.
There you go.
tell people where they can get tickets for the show, man.
You can log on to HarlemGlobetrotters.com. We play at the NRG Arena January 26th at 7:30 and at January 27th at 2 p.m. So if you've never seen the Globetrotters play, it's definitely be an experience you've never experienced in your life.
And it is an awesome thing to take your kids to.
Sure.
I went to games as a kid all the time and loved it, took my kids. It's really a cool generation thing.
Yeah, I always tell people you really don't have to be a basketball fan to like what the Globetrotters do, which is really cool.
You guys have like a set starting five, or do you guys rotate through every
Oh, no, we have a starting five. Coach, he has a starting five. Then we have a second five. Then we all just rotate after that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool deal, man.
Yep.
All right. January 26th and 27th. Tickets available at Ticketmaster as well. So go check them out. Scooter, appreciate you spending a little time with us, man.
Thanks for having me, man. Appreciate it.
All right.
Scooter and I found have the same nickname.
Yeah?
No one's ever called me Scooter, but that's what I want them to call me.
You want that to be your nickname?
That's what I want, yeah.
Okay. You like that better than the role model.
Yeah,
the
role model. I like that.
Okay. Well.
Scooter, the role model.
All right, so looking for a new job.
Yeah, I need a new job. I'm tired of working with you. I was going to try out for the Globetrotters, but now Scooter said it's pretty tough. I might be on the Generals. If that doesn't work out, listen, guys. Everybody can play for those jokers. I'm not trying to lose every game. All right, man. If your New Year's not happy, maybe you're not happy in your job. Why haven't you considered an IT career? If it's because you weren't the best student in high school, that's fine. It's not rocket science, guys. It's My Computer Career. See if an IT career could work for you. Go to mycomputercareer.edu. Take the free career evaluation today, and you can start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. You attend classes on campus or live online just twice a week. You'll get everything you need to start your new career. More than just a school, though, My Computer Career helps you get into the industry because they work with hundreds of employers that hire their students. My Computer Career is nationally accredited. Financial aid is available for those who qualify, including the GI Bill for my fellow vets. Pardon me. Classes start up soon. Go make new year, new career your resolution. Take that free career evaluation today. MyComputerCareer.edu. That's MyComputerCareer.edu.
The RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Some semi-breaking news. Two minor leaguers suspended. Astros minor leaguers suspended for...
roids.
Violation of... the MLB's drug prevention and treatment
program. Oh, no. Is it like party drugs?
It doesn't say.
One, I'm guessing, is marijuana.
Yeah. I didn't even know they tested for that.
When you see the name or hear the name, you'll know it's marijuana. Jonathan Singleton.
Oh, come
100
on.
Games.
And no, it won't. It can't be pot for 100 games.
But he's been busted for it
over
before.
And over again.
Yeah.
It's like Josh Gordon.
Dude, what a bozo.
And, Dean Dietz, who's a right-handed pitcher, gets 80 games. So
and I think last year the Chronicle ran a story about Jonathan Singleton and how he's battling marijuana addiction, and he's saying that he has a problem. So it's nothing new.
I don't believe in marijuana addiction.
I don't either.
That's nonsense. I mean, I've heard plenty of scientists tell me that this is not addictive. I don't believe it. I think it's a...
No, it's a gateway drug.
I mean, maybe it's addictive. Like it's not physically addictive. I know that. Maybe you just really like to smoke. I get that.
Yeah.
But if it comes down to your job or smoking pot, if you can't make that decision, you're just an idiot. Listen, if you're doing a gram of blow a day, and you tell me, hey, I can't shake this. Okay. Or you're a full blown alcoholic, or you're on freaking heroin, all right. But weed, listen, if it comes down to, hey, you got this job that's paying you really well, you need to not smoke for a while or you're going to get fired, you just quit smoking.
So this is what he told the AP last year. He told him, at this point, it's pretty evident to me that I'm a drug addict. I don't openly tell everybody that, but it's pretty apparent to myself. I know that I enjoy smoking weed. I enjoy being high, and I can't block that out of my mind that I enjoy that. So I have to work against that. So that he told him that, I believe that this was... Oh, no, this was in 2014.
Jeez, what an idiot. Casper said, if you guys talk Oscar nominations, I recommend I, Tonya for your Oscar screening.
I've heard about that. I've heard it's pretty good. Yeah, it's got Margot Robbie in it, right?
Yeah, and I always had a thing for... I admit, for Tonya Harding.
Really?
Yeah, I kind of thought she was hot back in the day.
That's odd.
Much hotter than Nancy Kerrigan.
That's very strange. But you do love a trashy chick.
Yeah, you know me. I like that touch of the gutter.
Yeah.
Touch of the gutter is a pretty cool thing.
Margot Robbie, what's she, Australian?
I don't know. I think
yeah, she is.
She's Australian, yeah.
Yeah, John, you should know that because...
You know. Yeah, she's really hot.
Yeah, I like her a lot. But... Now, Tonya Harding, now, no. Have you seen her lately? No.
Oh, is she a big, I bet she's a great big fat person.
She looks like she's been living in the trailer ever since.
Did they have to ugly up Margot Robbie for that role?
Well, no, because she played her when she was young, right? And she was.
Yeah, but even then, like Margot Robbie's a 10. Like, even if you thought that Tonya Harding was like figure skating hot.
She was a figure skating 7.5 or 8. Yeah.
8?
Yeah, for figure skating.
Dude, that's crazy talk.
Oh, no. She was a 5 or 6 normal, but figure skating, 7.5, 8.
I disagree.
I'm just saying, it's a sliding scale.
I think they had to ugly her up for that role. Like they did, what's that chick who did Monster?
Oh, Charlize Theron?
Yeah, Charlize Theron. They're like, yeah, yeah, we got this really hot chick. She's playing a pig. What do we do? Oh, I've got
to pick
idea.
Her up. Yeah.
Yeah, you pick her up. I think they had to have done that.
I'm sure they did, but yeah, we're only talking about taking a couple points off.
All right. If you say so. We're going to agree to disagree on the sliding scale where it puts Tonya Harding.
It's on the screen. I put it on the screen.
Oh, yeah, they uglied her up.
Yeah, they uglied her up good. That's good.
Yeah.
I can't believe you think that dude on the right is a.
That's not the most flattering photo ever. Come on. I'm sorry. I love like,
those bangs. It's so horrible.
Dude, that was a style back then. Come on. that was hot in the day. Let's squeeze in a quick call here. Charles, go.
Hey, guys. I'm in my mid-20s, and my hairline starting to recede some. This is more for AJ. What's like the minimum age before you can start going full Scott Van Pelt and just shaving it with a razor? And the second question, have you ever considered a transplant? Is that something I should look into?
No, I'm not vain enough for that. I just don't care. I started thinning on top when I was like 25. And I think when I was 25, I just said, oh, well, I started shaving my head with clippers. And then probably like I wish I would have gone to the razor sooner.
Yeah.
Because I think it looks better. So I started doing that probably about a year or two ago. And I think it's a better look.
I've been like right on the cusp for about 15 years. Where it's just enough to not do it.
But you, like yours is gone enough to do it. But you are self-conscious about the way you look bald.
Yes, yes.
So that's a different situation. I don't care. I mean, I don't worry about what people think I look like. Like it's low on my concerns. I'm married. I'm on the radio. Like it's, you know, I'm not a model. So if I'm bald, okay, then it doesn't bother me that much.
I just get a little, self-conscious when I have to do TV and stuff.
Yeah, I don't worry about it.
So, but since I've kind of gone back to the old mafia slick back look, it's worked better for me.
Yeah.
But, I did think about enhancement, but
like you would get like hair plugs.
No,
like Joe Buck?
No, not Joe Buck things, but whatever, like, you know, Rogaine or whatever that crap is.
Oh, yeah. It's too late for that, though.
Yeah.
Like, you got to start using Rogaine before it starts to go.
Yeah.
And then it holds on to what you got.
I don't think it matters enough to do that. Because the only reason I would want to have hair is to have really long hair and look really, you know, Willie Nelson-like and grotesque.
Yeah.
I look grotesque enough as it is. I don't need to
jazz it up.
Man, I started losing it in high school. And
I want to see a picture of you with hair. Do you have pictures of you with hair?
I've never known you with hair.
I got to look. But I think a junior in high school, it was like back in the early 2000s, it was very cool to shave your head, have that look. And then I was like, okay, I'll do that too. And I shaved it and just didn't grow back the same. So over the last 15 years or so, it's slowly gone. And then since like 27 or so, it's like really gone. But yeah, I haven't had it most of my life now.
How often do you have to shave your head?
Like 2-3 times a week.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but see, you guys can make the bald look work.
Well, it's because I've been like this for so long.
Yeah, I started like the first time I shaved my head was when I was wrestling, like in junior high and high school. I would always shave my head at the start of wrestling season because otherwise your hair gets, you know, you're wearing those stupid earmuff things.
Yeah,
and it's your hair's getting, like somebody will put their hand on your hair and it sucks. So I just assumed it was, and you know, back then, I mean, I did care about getting laid, but I didn't care that much. Like if I couldn't get laid bald, then I didn't deserve to get laid, I guess.
Yeah, and then in my early 20s, I looked into getting a transplant, but I was like, it cost a lot of money. And then the doctor that I went to go see said, you know, the way that your hairline is, it's you know, it's receding. The you don't have enough hair in the back of your head to do anything like that. But my dad went and did it in Korea, and it didn't work for him. So, yeah.
Yeah, like when I was in Austin, one of the salespeople tried to get me to go and like, there was some company who wanted to like grow my hair back.
Yeah, we had somebody here wanted to do that, and I said no.
That's what I said.
It's like, not for me.
I just said I'm just not that interested in it. I don't really care.
Yeah, unless you can give me like some Sam Elliott hair or something. If I could do that, I would think about it. But
I get what he's feeling because it's one of the worst feelings in the world. And in college, I would wear hats all the time, but now I don't really care.
Yeah. So like, when did you start shaving it for good?
Early 20s.
Okay, when you were out of college.
Yeah, so...
But you were already thinning?
No. I was in college. So in junior year of high school, so I was 16, I realized it wasn't growing back the same. About freshman year in college, I started to wear a lot of hats because I could... The temples on my head,
yeah,
it was thinning out a little bit. And then that's when I started to just shave my head. And for the longest time, it just looked like I shaved my head. You know, I had that hairline where it looks like I'd had hair, but I shaved my head.
Yeah.
That kind of hairline. But, and then around, between 26 and 28 is when it started to get worse. So.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, now it doesn't even matter. There's
no levels. I don't care.
There's no levels to it anymore.
Yeah.
But I will admit, had I started going bald when I was 16,
yeah,
I would have struggled with that. Like, because that's, you know, when you're in high school, that's like your formative years. I was much more vain back then. I was I cared about my appearance much more. Yeah, that would have been difficult. So I feel bad for you there, Jung. That's tough.
Speaking of appearance,
but you weren't getting laid in high school anyway, so it didn't.
No, I had to find somebody that liked bald guys.
Yeah, it wasn't mattering for you anyway.
And then, by that point in my mid-20s, it's more of the way that you carry yourself with women than actually the appearance,
right, and the way you look,
the way that you interact with them. That you got to have this sense of confidence that when you're talking to people, it's more attractive than your actual look.
Right.
Speaking of appearances, could you please take off this photo of
Harding now? I was going to mention that this is Tanya Harding now.
Yeah, Fred's been over there chubbing up.
No, that's like the chick you hooked up with in high school when she was hot, and then you run into her somewhere, and you're like, oh, no.
Oh, I showed you that one for me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, man.
And I'm sure they look at me the same way.
That's happened to me. Like, I've looked at Facebook before, and I see a girl that I used to date, and it's like, oh, no, what happened? And it's like, it's gone way downhill. I mean, like you said, I'm no prize either at this point, but I'm a dude, you know?
Yeah, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Girls, you always have to look good. Yeah, I mean, no, guys don't care about how confident a girl is. They just want her to be hot. We're pigs.
Pretty much, yeah.
All right. I got to tell you about Triangle Energy, a born and raised in Texas company. They care about providing a good low electricity rate. They provide tools to help you decrease the amount of energy your home uses. And that's what the goal is in the long term, is to just use less energy overall. Use promo code ESPN, you'll get a discount. And if you're in the CenterPoint territory, you can get the Smart Energy 36 plan locked in at 8.9 cents for 3 years. That includes the all-new EcoBee 4 thermostat with Alexa voice service. You can ask your Ecobee to set a timer, read you the news, adjust the temperature, and more. And Trigall will come out and install it for free. Give them a call, 877-93-EAGLE, or visit TriEagleEnergy.com. That's TriEagleEnergy.com, PUCT number 10064.
I got.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. I want to tell you it's time to get on the map if you're not checking out sportsmap.com every day. Shane Bell for you. Good stuff today from Raheel, who talked about four new basketball shoes that are coming out. Apparently, he's a shoe maven. Ken Hoffman has a column on there, the other Hoffman, about mentioning Barry and his camel performance, and also about a horse that ran Friday night called Altuve at Bat, named after one Jose Altuve. Patrick Creighton's got a column up on his is on Kevin Durant being a whiny little bee, and the soccer.
Who wrote that?
Patrick Creighton.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And Victor's soccer column is up. So for fans of Glenn Davis, you should be reading Victor's soccer column every week. He hits every league in the world.
Isn't it funny that 3 years ago, Kevin Durant could do no wrong, and now he's kind of a bad guy, right?
Well, that's what happens when you make the heel turn.
Well, not just a heel turn, but the little stuff like the fake Twitter accounts and going,
yeah,
and stuff like that. That's just
like he had the most squeaky clean, sparkling reputation. Like, it was hard to find someone who didn't hate on him, and if they did hate on him, it was because he was too much of a good guy.
Weren't you one of the first ones that were like, hey, why isn't Kevin Durant getting treated like LeBron James?
Yes! And he's starting to get some of that treatment now. I like it. I like KD just fine. But he got away with a lot of stuff for a long time because he wasn't LeBron.
Yeah.
And everybody was just piling on LeBron. And, I still to this day, why don't you like LeBron? Oh, the decision. Really? That changed it that much for you? All right. I don't get it.
I love his game. I think I'm not a fan of his personally, and I haven't been.
LeBron really or ever. Kevin Durant?
LeBron.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and even little stuff like congratulating himself on, I mean, come on, dude.
I guess for me, like, I've gotten to where, and the NBA feels like the only league that really does this where guys are more like personalities. It's almost like pro wrestling. Like, where you go, oh, yeah, I don't like him. Like you said, I love LeBron's game.
Yeah.
So I love LeBron. Like, I like to watch him play ball. I don't, like...
Like Steph Curry, I love his game, but I think you're right. I think there's a lot of wrestling going on here.
Yeah, I don't follow LeBron James on Instagram, so yeah, I don't know what he's doing in his life.
Yeah, but you can't help but see, because I write stories about it every time he does stuff, because he does these...
But is that his fault, or the people who write about him's fault?
I mean, it's news when he does stuff like congratulate himself, or when he's being cryptic about his teammates and things like that, and cryptic about his future. It's just like, come on, man. I mean, I don't care, but I don't like it. So I don't follow him on Instagram either, but I have to do show prep, and there's 20 stories about LeBron congratulating himself today.
Yeah.
And it's like, really? And yeah, part of that's on them for doing it. But so remember the last week, I think it was, when your computer started updating?
Yeah.
I have about 11 minutes remaining.
Oh, man.
It just did it. It didn't even ask me.
That's what mine did, too. I don't know why.
I've been on this computer all
day. How long did it take you?
Well, it started at about 4:32.
You've done a really good job selling this stuff, man.
Well, it's pretty easy because
you're faking it till you make it. I like that you're doing that.
It's pretty easy because we're talking about bald.
Right.
Which you don't need internet for.
That's true.
No. Although I was trying to find, there is a photo of me. Or there used to be, like, if you searched images of me when I was bald, and I was trying to find it just to show you how hideous I look, so that.
Oh, is it on Google?
It should be, but I can't find it.
He's like Dominic Soxa with the shark pic. He's basically deleted it from the internet.
I didn't delete it. I think it was part of a blog that my former secretary wrote when she was kind of when she had cancer, and she was kind of writing a blog about it. And it was on that blog, but I think the blog's gone.
So I did a Google search of Fred Fowler bald, and the second link that comes up is Fred Fowler on Twitter, quote, naked red witch, hell yes. I don't know why.
Oh, well, I'm so, I'm pretty easy to predict, aren't I? All right, we're going to take a quick break. I have less than a minute remaining, though. So hopefully when we come back.
Good for you. That's a quick update.
Yeah,
good job.
Yeah, that worked out. All right, it is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.